Good morning. Welcome to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. I want to thank you for being here. What a privilege it is to worship together and to share God's Word with you. Before I go any further, on behalf of all the pastors, Pastor Terry, Pastor Michael, and myself, we want to sincerely thank you. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts, especially this past week as we took one day out of the year to appreciate our pastors. And I'm just joking. Not one day. It's every day, right? Every day is Pastor Appreciation Day. So we're done. Thank you. No. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate you as well. We love you. And we're thankful to be here. I want to ask you to pray with me once again. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we praise you for who you are. God, we praise you because you're the Creator, because you're almighty, you're in control, you are perfect. God, thank you that you give us life. Thank you that you allow us to be here this morning, to worship you, to praise you, to learn about you, to study your word, to live in freedom. God, thank you for my church family, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the amazing bond that we share through your Son, Jesus. God, thank you for the joy, the hope, the peace, the purpose, the mission that you give each of us. Thank you, God, that we're not alone. And God, I thank you for those that are here for the first time, or those that are fairly new to this church. God, thank you for bringing them here, God, because I know that it's you who has brought them here. And so, God, I pray that this morning you would stir in our hearts, that you'd open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, help us to see you, to hear you, to know you, to love you more. Help us to understand your word. And God, I pray that we would leave this morning, that we would leave changed. So thank you, God. Thank you for giving us everything that we need. Thank you for loving us so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And I want to take you through just a progression here and see what kind of observation you make about the early church. So if you have a Bible, I'm not going to throw all the verses up on the screen. We do have a main passage there that's in your bulletin, in your outline. But I want to walk you through some verses before we get to this main focal passage this morning. In the very first chapter of Acts chapter 1, verse 15, Peter, he stood up among the believers, and it said it was a group of about 120 followers of Jesus. And, they were in the upper room, and it was prior to Pentecost. Peter and the number of believers, about 120. And you look at chapter 2, verse 41, in the book of Acts. There was about 3,000 added to the church that day. It was the first day of church. First day of the New Testament church, 3,000 members in one day. I would consider that a mega church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily. Think about that. The Lord adding to the number of the church daily. What if that was just one person a day? How many people is that? 300 something? Okay. Yes. Imagine just one person a day. 365 new members of the church per day. Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the number of the men in that church, in the church grew to 5,000. That's just counting the men. What about women and children? Well over 10,000. 15,000. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. More and more. Acts chapter 5, verse 28, And The disciples are standing before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was accusing them and had them on trial, and they were saying to them, "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." And at that time, estimations of the population of Jerusalem during that time were well in the hundreds of thousands as far as believers. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. "Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying." And see, we're moving here in growth from addition to multiplication. We're seeing exponential growth in the New Testament church here in the chapters of Acts. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." We see multiplication. We see exponential growth. We see God growing numbers daily. We see this rapid growth in the church, this early church, right? The first New Testament church, the body of believers, not the building. They were thriving. They were thriving. And I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to dream a little bit and to think, and to picture and imagine, could Northwest Chinese Baptist Church see this kind of growth? Some of us automatically, "Oh, no way." Well, I challenge you to consider why not. Some of us, we may be thinking, yeah, we could see this. God could do this in this church. And it's not so much about numbers, but God could cause and create this type of growth in Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. But I want to kind of focus our thinking now. With all these people coming to faith in Jesus Christ in the life and in the start of the New Testament church, so many people becoming part of the church, where did all of these people meet? They met in a church building? The church didn't really have buildings back then or designated as a church building. They had the temples. And you know what? Who was allowed to go into the temple? Only the high priest. And so where did these people meet? Well, you look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. It says, "They met day after day in the temple courts and from house to house." Followers of Jesus worship God. Yes, on Sunday they would go. They go to the temple and they would worship in the temple courtyards. They would join together, and these courtyards could easily fit tens of thousands of people if they were all standing up worshiping. But look, the Bible tells us the New Testament church, they worshiped and they met not only in a large group setting, but they met house to house. They met in small groups. And see, this morning I want to encourage each one of us, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, my fellow family in the Lord, I want to challenge and encourage you to consider the truth that meeting consistently in smaller groups is an essential part of a thriving Christian life. Meeting consistently together in smaller groups is an essential part of a thriving Christian life. There is no way we can get to know every single one of you 150 people. There is no way I could get to know each of you at a personal and intimate level. Personal, I mean, when I say intimate. There is no way I could get to know each one of you. But if you give me a group of 10 people, we could get to know each other very well. The early church, not only did they meet together in a large group to worship, but they met in homes. They met in homes to fellowship. And so this morning, I want to present to you, I want to focus your attention to five aspects, five benefits of meeting together in small groups. What is so special about small groups? And I want to focus you on Scripture. These are not just my opinions, but this comes straight from Scripture. And the passage that we want to look at this morning that I want to encourage you to focus on is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I want to invite you to read that with me. You can read silently, and I'll read it out loud, and you can follow along on the screen or in your own Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What is so special? What is so beneficial about meeting in smaller groups? Getting involved in small groups. It's not just about attending the meeting that I'm talking about. What is so special about brothers and sisters in Christ coming together and investing in each other's lives? What is so special? The first thing that I want to encourage you with and I want to point out to you is that in small groups, we experience true fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship of Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, something unique to any other type of relationship in this world. The bond that we share in Jesus Christ. What's so special about small groups? We experience true fellowship in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Brothers and sisters, membership in the body of Christ means that we can identify with a family. Not just any family, but we can identify with God's family. And if you look at the life of Jesus, even Jesus saw the value of small groups. What did he do right after he was tempted in the desert? Well, he got 12 guys together and he formed a small group. You know, when we think about this concept of fellowship, oftentimes we equate the success of our fellowship in our small groups with how well everyone gets along. Yeah, our small group's doing great. We all get along. We don't fight. Everyone's nice to each other. Or we'll judge the success of our small group by how much we laugh and have fun. Well, that is a definite benefit to meeting together, having fun, laughing. But that's only part of fellowship. Brothers and sisters, true fellowship dives below the surface. And not only connects church members to each other, but also connects church members to Jesus Christ. That's one of the most amazing benefits of brothers and sisters in Christ coming together and encouraging one another. It's not just that we grow together in closeness and intimacy and getting to know each other better, but that we can encourage each other and help each other to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And I want to share this with you. My own experience in small groups growing up and even until now. It's in participating in small group meetings, which is literally just a smaller group of people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that commit to meeting together consistently. It's in these meetings, it's in these times spent with brothers and sisters in Christ that I have built such rich friendships. That I have experienced the love and the grace of God tangibly through other people. It's in these small groups that I've experienced trust, where I've been felt free to be vulnerable, where I've been humbled, where I've had the opportunity to share the love of Christ with people, where I've had the opportunity to receive the love of Christ from people. Where I've experienced true Christian fellowship. with brothers and sisters who are not perfect, but are willing to walk side by side as we seek to live on mission with God, as we seek God's kingdom and His glory together. What's so special about meeting in small groups? Not only do we experience true fellowship, but we also experience true growth. You look at Acts chapter 2 again, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They experienced true growth. Verse 42 means they devoted themselves to growing in Christ and maturity. They didn't just listen to what the apostles were teaching in the temple courts. But these Christians gathered together in each other's homes, they studied, and they practiced what was being taught. They sought to live it out. Not just gain knowledge about God, about the Bible, but they encouraged and spurred each other on to live out God's Word. And see, I think in all of our small groups here, we do a great job at teaching the Word of God. We have very faithful brothers and sisters who teach the Word of God accurately and clearly and faithfully. But growing into the likeness of Christ, growing as a disciple of Christ, means not only learning about the Word, but also living it out. Living it out in every aspect of our lives. And I'm guilty of this. I've been in small groups where that's all we focused on was having fun and just enjoying each other's company. But there was never any times of open sharing. There was never any times of sharing struggles. There was never any times of maybe receiving correction from one another. But it was great fun. And that's great. That was good. That's a good thing. But see, as broken people, as those that are being sanctified and being made and molded into the likeness of Jesus Christ, there's also growing pains. There's obstacles, there's struggles, there's temptation, there's failure. And see, what an amazing thing, what a blessing it is to have brothers and sisters alongside you that know and we agree that we're all broken and we're works in progress. To be able to have that vulnerability, that humility, to acknowledge that we don't have everything together. To be able to share our struggles and our temptations. And to bear with one another. To pick each other up when we fall. And all the while experiencing the growth. The growth that the Holy Spirit is producing in each of our lives together. You know, I share this one example. I've been a part of many small groups in my life. But this one small group, one of our brothers in Christ, this was many, many years ago. When I first met this brother, very nice guy, very laid back person. But when we talked about spiritual things, when we talked about the church and serving the Lord, this brother's response to me would be, "No, that's not for me. You know, I prefer to be kind of just to do my own thing. You know, whatever I feel led to do, I just do it. And you know, I'm not big on organized church. I just don't do that." Well, years go by, and looking back, I see that God did an amazing work, that God produced some amazing growth in this brother's heart, that to compare where he was when I first met him to where he is now, now I hear stories about how he loves the church, how he's gotten plugged in to a church, how he's serving and he feels led to help women break out of the slavery of human trafficking. How he feels led to get involved as a mentor to fellow brothers in Christ. How he feels led to be a teacher of God's Word in a small group. How can this be? And I'm not just going to say, well, it's because he's a part of a small group. No, it's because brothers and sisters walked with him
encouraged him, planted seeds, and God grew those seeds and produced fruit in this brother's life. Spiritual fruit, lasting fruit. But God, I can say beyond the shadow of a doubt, God used those years of small group meetings to produce growth in this brother's life. What's so special about meeting in small groups? Well, we experience true fellowship. We experience true spiritual growth. And third, we experience true service. Now, some may call this ministry, serving one another, serving our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But look at Acts chapter 2, verse 45. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had a need. You look at the church. We may look at this passage and we think, oh, that's just crazy. That's another time, another culture that has nothing to do, that's so unrealistic to our current context and to our current culture. Nobody would sell everything and just give. Because then we'd be out on the street. Well, I am not promoting that you sell all of your belongings and just give your money away to anybody and anything. But see, what's important here is the heart and the love and the care that these believers had for one another. Yes, they were willing to sell everything and provide for the needs of others because they knew that if they had a need, that their brothers and sisters would provide for them. I do not think that's so far-fetched. If anything, I think it's weird that if we know of a brother or sister that has a need and we do nothing. If we know of a brother or sister that has a need and all we do is hold on to our money, all we do is hold on to our time, all we do is hold on to our possessions, because no, that's too much. Yeah, they're suffering and they're dying, but I don't know if I can give that. In small groups, we experience true ministry, true service. The early church, they ministered to one another, they served one another. Biblical ministry, brothers and sisters, is expressed from one believer to another. Yes, there is serving outside the church, serving non-believers, but I'm talking about serving your brother and your sister. Jesus said to His disciples, people will know that you are My disciples by your what? By your love. Not by your programs, not by your coffee, not by your audiovisual. They will know that you are My followers by your love. And if anything, for the church as a whole, if anything, if there's something that we've failed at or could grow in, it's that. Being obedient to Christ's command to love. It's love that people will know and come to know. It's by love that people will come to know and put their faith in Jesus Christ. To know Him, to know His love for them. And God is calling each one of us to be His hands and His feet, to share that love with a world that is so desperately in need. You see, small groups are an outlet. They're an outlet for support, service, benevolence, charity. Even in this biblical time, sharing meals together. We do great at that. All right, we do great at that. That's a good thing, to share meals together. But see, brothers and sisters, small groups, they got to be more than once a week. They got to be more than twice a month. We must engage in meeting the needs of others in the family of God daily. Another one of the amazing blessings that I've received through small groups is, and that I've seen, even in this, especially in the small groups here at this church, even just the English small groups, in times of loss, in times of hurt, I've seen brothers and sisters rally and come to the side of one another to pick each other up, to carry each other and bear each other's burdens, to grieve with one another, to provide for one another. And not only in times of loss or hurt, but even in celebration, I've witnessed people coming together, the church coming together to celebrate with those who have been blessed by God in various ways. What a blessing to experience the joy of serving, the joy of serving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We experience true fellowship, true spiritual growth, true service to one another. And fourth, we experience true change. Verse 47 of chapter 2. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Look at what the church was all about. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all people, providing for one another's needs, devoting themselves to the Word of God and living it out, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Not only sharing the love of Jesus Christ, but the good news of Jesus Christ. And what did God do in the church? He added to their number daily. Because they experienced true change. They experienced this true change because of what they experienced. They have experienced the one and only true living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And once they experienced God, they were never the same. They were changed. They couldn't help but live differently. They couldn't help but tell anyone and everyone the source of this change. The reason for the hope that they have, the reason for the peace that they have, the reason for the joy that they have and the love that they have. Now I know, in this world, there are bad examples of Christians. There are definitely bad examples of Christians. Yes, even myself, I make mistakes. I am not perfect. But, have you ever experienced Jesus through somebody, through a brother, through a sister, through a Christian, through the life of someone that follows Jesus and professes Him as their Savior and Lord? I tell you, I have countless times. I have been blessed. And see, these early believers, once they experienced Jesus, they were changed. They were completely changed. And immediately, they joined the mission of God. Joined the mission of God and sharing the good news of Jesus to the world. Like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's that simple, isn't it? If Jesus is this amazing treasure, if this new life in Jesus Christ is that amazing, wouldn't we want to share it? Just like if you were starving and you found this amazing source of food, wouldn't you tell others that we're starving? Well, some of us are like, no, because I don't want to run out of food. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. If you knew there's this limitless supply of food, would you not tell those that are hungry and starving? Yes, I believe that each of you would. What about us, church? Dear family, are we willing to share the riches that we have in Jesus Christ with a world that is so desperate and in need? Are we willing to join together the mission of God and live out the change? You see, I grew up going to another church. I grew up going to First Chinese Baptist Church, and I tell you this, I experienced God in some amazing ways when First Chinese started to make a conscious focus on starting small group meetings. And I remember we did the study reading through the Purpose-Driven Life. If some of you are familiar with that study, that book, but it wasn't so much about the study. It was about getting into God's Word. It was about experiencing and meeting and getting to know who God is and His will for our lives. But I want to tell you, I want to share with you what I experienced because I will never forget this. You know, the goal was to create more small groups, to get as many people as we could to start small groups and to lead the small groups. It was very unintimidating because no one had to teach. We just had to watch a video and just read the discussion questions and invite everyone to answer and invite people into your homes and things like that, which can be hard, I understand. But let me tell you what God did through that. I was in my 20s, I believe, at that time. I was in college, and I'm finishing college. And there was a group of older brothers and sisters in Christ, seniors, some may classify them as, where all throughout my childhood, I only knew the wives because they were the ones that went to church. They were the ones that faithfully served in church, brought the children to church, but I never saw the husbands. And these were people in their 60s. And yet through this emphasis of bringing people together in small groups, these husbands decided to join a small group because this small group was composed of all of their friends. And the couples, the wives and the husbands together. All in the same demographic, all in this age group. And I tell you what God did. By the end of this campaign that we did, this emphasis of learning about the purpose of life as God created us, these men came to faith in Christ. These men made a choice to follow Jesus in obedience through water baptism. I will never forget that. Not only that, but I was working and serving with the youth. But I saw a teenager, a 15-year-old boy in our youth group after going through and being a part of our youth small group, feeling led by God to start his own small group after that. His own small group in his house as a 15-year-old to invite his friends from school so that they could get to know Jesus. 15 years old, or younger maybe. I'm old, so I'm forgetting. Not that you guys forget, but I don't know how old he was, but he was young. Starting a small group at his parents' house, he didn't have his own house, so he could invite his non-Christian friends. And he asked me to be a part of it. What a blessing. What an amazing blessing from God. And see, how does that happen? It's by people that see that God is for real. It's about people that actually love others, that actually care about other people and their salvation. Inviting them, investing their time, sacrificing. Was their house perfectly clean? No. Some houses are messy, and that's okay. If your house is completely immaculate, I would think something's wrong with you. I'm just kidding, okay? I know some of your houses are very clean. Everything's in its place, and that's great. But I experienced true change. And it happened because faithful brothers and sisters committed to investing in the lives of others through small group meetings. Again, it's not about just meeting together. It's about what happens when you commit to meeting together and you are intentional with living out God's Word and encouraging and loving one another and seeking to live out God's Word together. What's so special about small groups? Well, in small groups, we also experience our one true God. That's the fifth point. In small groups, we experience our one true God. You look all throughout that passage. It was God doing miracle after miracle. It was God producing the growth in the hearts and the lives of the believers in the church. God was doing amazing things. These early Christians were worshiping the one true living God in the temple and in their homes. And what was the result? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And one pastor says this. He says, God shows up when people make room for Him. God shows up when people make room for Him. You see, the early Christians, they tasted and they saw the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they... To what they had experienced was to worship Him. To worship Him with their lives. Not just to have a worship service and to sing songs. Their response to what God was doing and to what God had done was to offer and surrender their lives in worship to Him. You see, at the heart of worship is surrender. At the heart of worship is surrender. Small groups. Small groups can help people thrive as living sacrifices in light of an overwhelming in light of the overwhelming mercy of God. You see, isn't that from Romans chapter 12, verse 1? Where Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In another version, it'll say, "This is your spiritual act of worship. To live. To live as sacrifices to the Lord." It's in small groups that we experience God, that we experience the love of God, where we experience encouragement for one another, where we experience growth, fellowship, change, true ministry, service to one another. It's in small groups that we encourage each other to thrive, to live as living, to be living sacrifices in light of all that God has done, in light of who God is and how great He is. See, it's in small groups that we encourage, support, bear with, spur one another on. You think about it. You all have heard at least one another command or statement in the Bible, right? I think there's over 50. Where you, like, love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, be kind to one another, bear with one another. All of these actions called and commanded by Christ for us, followers of Jesus Christ, to live out. And they all fall in line with that great command, that new command that He gave, right? To love one another just as I have loved you. And by this love, by this, they will know that you are my disciples. Some of you may be sitting here, maybe when I talk about small groups, you just automatically tune me out. You say, "Pastor Steve, that's not me. I don't do small groups. I tried it before. It's boring. I tried it before. People are hypocrites. I tried it before. It's not that much fun. I tried it before. The food's not that good." Actually, that doesn't happen here. Okay? But see, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. See, God has called us to be in relationship with one another, to walk alongside one another, to serve together, to love together, to grow together, to thrive together, as a family, as a body of Christ, as brothers and sisters on mission together. And see, God is asking you, what are you willing to surrender? What are you willing to give? Are you willing to give your life to the glory of God, for His kingdom, that just one person may come to know Jesus Christ through you? Will you live out your new identity in Christ as a brother, as a sister, as an encourager, as a Barnabas, like we learned about today in Sunday school, in Sunday Bible study? You see, it's not enough for us just to meet together. It's not enough for us, dear church, to just be in close proximity to one another. We must move from proximity and focus on building and developing and growing community. This is part of God's design for this church, for His church. You are never too old, you are not too young to be a part of a small group. And I'm not just talking about a small group program. See, there are so many different ways and so many different groups we are a part of in our lives. But see, what I'm asking you to do is to think consciously and specifically, what groups are you a part of? Are you a part of a group? And as you are a part of that group, how are you intentionally living out the commands and the calling of Jesus Christ? How are you loving the people that are in your groups, in your family group, in your small group here at church, in your Bible study group, in your coffee group, in your work group, in your welcome ministry group. And I want to just end with this challenge. You see, the example here is of when the first church started. They devoted themselves to one another. They experienced fellowship. They experienced growth. They experienced ministry. They experienced change. They experienced God. Will you be a part of the growing community here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church through joining or starting a small group? And will you join me in praying that as we grow together, that we will thrive. That we will thrive to the glory of God. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. God, You are truly amazing. God, I know this full well because I have experienced Your grace, Your mercy, the power of Your Holy Spirit changing lives. Because God, You've changed me. And God, I thank You for my dear church family. God, thank You for the bond that we share. God, thank You for the fruit, God, that You've produced through the hearts and the actions and the lives of such faithful brothers and sisters. And God, I pray that as we look ahead, day by day, as we continue to press on and move forward, that as a church, God, we would remember Your command to love one another just as You loved us. That we would remember how the early church lived out Your commands and they experienced Your blessing, the blessing of following You, of surrendering to You, of being obedient to You. The blessing of sacrificing for the benefit of others. The blessing of sharing with others the true richness of the gospel. The true riches of Your Son Jesus. And so God, I pray that as a church, we would come together. And we would commit together. That You would break us out of whatever it is, our idols, our selfishness, our pride, our insecurity, our fear. God, and that You would help us to grow together in love. That You would help us to be intentional about how we encourage one another. That we would see how vital it is for us as a church in order to fulfill Your great commission and commands to not stop meeting together in large groups, in small groups. God, help us to be intentional. Help us to be Your hands and Your feet. God, and may we see this exponential growth in this church, in our hearts, to Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear church, I want to invite you to rise. As we respond to God, as we sing this song, please stand. If God has put something on your heart, a decision, maybe it's just a prayer request and you would want me to pray for you, I invite you to come. I would love to pray with you. If God is leading you just to come to the altar and pray, I invite you to do that as well. As we sing.